Hey, welcome to another episode of the Cigars and Everything Else podcast. My name's Jared. I got Denzel with me, and we're here to talk a little bit of cigars and a little bit of everything else this week.
Yes.
My boy, we are in episode 85.
Oh, yeah, we are. And you know what that means.
Yeah, you told me who it was going to be.
Yeah, Baron Davis.
Baron Davis.
Or 85 with the Cleveland Cavaliers. I had no idea. But no, episode's not for him. Even shout out to Baron Davis, though. He was a you know what I'm saying? He was a baller. He was a heck of a baller.
He was that guy at one point.
Yeah, I give him his credit. But no, 85 Cleveland Cavaliers, Baron Davis, you're not the one. Sorry.
Nah.
I know he was at home when he saw this episode. He was hoping that was him, fingers crossed, like, it's gotta be me this time. But nah. Hey, it's 85. So, I'm pretty sure everybody knows, we know.
Fellow brother of the leaf.
Ocho Cinco. It's got to be Ocho Cinco. It's got to be him. It's got to be 85. It's got to be Chad Johnson.
It's his namesake. My man dedicated to 85. He changed his whole name to it. Oh, you name. Know, it's definitely Ocho. Chad.
Ocho Cinco. Yes. Yes. Cigar brother himself. Has a cigar brand of his own, 85 cigars. You know, right. We need some. Please, hit the boys up. Send us some cigars so we can smoke them on an episode. You know, down for it.
Give an honest review. You know what I mean?
Real review.
The real review. Yeah. And shout out to Chad because, you know, he's out there smoking them cigars every time we see him on camera now. So you're working your way up. Next time we do an ambassador list, I'm sure you'll be the guy. You know what I mean?
Maybe he might, you know what I'm saying, just get that notch over Cam Newton. He's working on it. In our mind's eye, he's there. But it's just, hey, we want to see that commitment. We're starting to see it. Commit all the way to the culture. You know,
after Cam wrestled them seven dudes off of him, you know, he moved up another notch in my book. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know, man. It might be hard, Chad. It might be hard, bro.
Cam fights back. He's like, oh, you smoking cigars on your podcast, too, just like me? All right, yeah. Watch this. I want all the smoke.
I want all the smoke, for real. Hey, man, you know, that's what's up, though, man. This is Chad Ocho Cinco, man. We got a lot of love for that brother, man. So shout out to him. It's number 85. And on this week's episode, I'm going to be smoking a Gilberto Oliva Reserva Blanc. Doom, doom, doom. Something like that.
Where's the round of applause? Where's the round of applause button? I need a round of applause button for that.
I know, man. You got it. Where's our engineer? He's supposed to have that queued up and ready to go, man. But anyway, it was a nice little sexy thing. And, you know, it's always good to have a little cedar wrapping around it. You know what I'm saying? That's a pleasant little gift. So I look forward to seeing exactly what they expect from Gilbert Oliva's namesake. But in the meantime, I'll go ahead and give you a little bit of specs on that. That's going to have a Nicaraguan origin. It's going to have a Nicaraguan filler. And it is an Ecuador, Connecticut wrapper on this. So we'll see how that goes. She is a little on the light side. You know, those red bones don't always do us right. But I trust Gilberto.
Yeah. Hey, look, you know, I had that Gilberto. Not that one. I can't remember which one I had a few episodes ago. Absolutely loved it. It's Oliva. Yeah. It's the namesake. So I'm expecting nothing but great things from that stick. That's why I had to give it a round of applause as soon as you announced it. I forgot you had that in the stash. Yeah. I forgot that that was a pickup of yours. And I'm ready to see you smoke. I'm interested. I'm going to be sitting back like a fan waiting to hear what that review for that particular stick is going to be. It's Oliva, it's the namesake. What more can you ask for?
Nothing. And I'm going to go with a straight cut on it. You know, I should punch a V cut, but I'm going to go straight cut. It just sound right now, man. Sometimes you got to trust your instinct.
Oh, man, you just reminded me of something. I don't think I got any of my tools available to me. But we're going to make it happen.
It's going to be a nice bite down episode.
It's going to be a bite. We got to bite this one. Hey, all right. So check this out, man. So, of course, you know I hit the humidor today. Cigars International. That was the play for the day. And I actually brought you in on my experience for a moment. You know, hopefully you enjoyed the tour of Cigars International, virtually anyway.
I did.
You know, it's a beautiful place, man. It's a beautiful place, and so many sticks to choose from. And it's a wonderful place to go to, especially when you don't have really an idea of what you want to smoke, or even have an idea because 9 times out of 10 are going to have what you want or what you're looking for. But, you know, I'm doing a lot of shopping around and I'm like, okay, mind's open. What do I want? So I had one idea of what I already wanted, which was this Ashton Heritage. Now, this is something I don't do a lot. I double back and I picked the cigar up again for the second time. So I picked this cigar up a few weeks back. I smoked it the past weekend while I was at the water, enjoying some beautiful scenery, some beautiful water, and the cigar smoked great. And I'm like, I have to do this on the episode. I have to do this on the episode. Have to give my review real time on the Cigars and Everything Else podcast. It was that. So I'm wanting to know if it's, hey, look, was it the scenery and the environment and atmosphere that made the cigar nice? Or was the cigar just that nice that made me say, hey, I need to double back and go get this cigar, bring it on the podcast, and give an upfront review? So that's option number one. Option number two is something you told me not to get, but I did it anyway.
Got it anyway.
I got it anyway. And
I just told you to get it, man. You would have put it down.
I got it. But you know what? I remember back in our beginning journeys, every now and then you could pick up a stick that was not expensive, a very inexpensive stick, and still give you a great smoke. Yeah. So what got me was, it caught my eye at first. The band was nice. Park Avenue, 44. And that's what drew my attention to the cigar before I saw the price. And I saw the price that said $5. I'm like, $5. And me and you joked about it real quick. Like the band looked like $5. Like I said, $5 to make the band. So what's up with the cigar? So
right.
I still want to give it a shot. So it might be something I smoke in my personal time, or I'll smoke it on the episode and give a real review. We'll see. Or I have this Macanudo Inspirado Black. It's a beautiful black boy. It's nice and dark. So they had two Inspirados. One was regular, I don't know, brown leaf. And then they had this one said next to it that said black. And I was like, ooh. And then also Macanudo, what they did with their boxes, they had these nice little what you should expect on your palate details. And this one stuck out to me. It has some nice things that it said that this cigar should have on it. And I'm interested to see if it lives up to what they were trying to make you feel by selling the cigar with all these details about the stick. They kind of did what Crux cigar smoked about maybe a year ago, and how they had everything laid out. Macanudo decided to do the same thing with this. And I thought it was very interesting. Great selling point, because it definitely caught my eye. Also, like you said, Macanudo, great brand. And then also that black dark leaf drew my attention to it. And then also looking at that, comparing it to the other cigars they had with their descriptions of the cigars, it sold me. I'm like, I have to give it a shot. So great selling point, great eye catcher, and great hook, bait and hook, got me. So those are my three options I'm thinking about today. And I don't know which one I want to go with, man.
All three of them sound good. You know what I mean? All three of them sound like you could flip a coin, man. The reason I say all three, because I know we trashed the second one a little bit, you know, making fun of it.
Yeah.
But you know what? I am curious. Can you still, in today's climate, get a good $5 cigar like you could back then?
We've been smoking 20 plus a lot recently.
Yeah. And once again, this is inflation time, you know, so probably about 6-7 years ago, that boy would have been about $3. You know what I mean? So like, that's why I'm just curious what, you know, I'm curious about the second one too. So I don't know, you know, what you thinking? What you leaning towards?
Oh man. I really want to give this Ashton another go because it was just that great. Mm-hmm. But that description on the Macanudo really drew me. And the Park Avenue was just more so curiosity. I think I'm going to save that one for later. That might be a smoke for a different show. I think I'm going to go with this Macanudo.
Okay. Yeah, you're going to have to do that smoky, man. We're going to find out. What smoky say? The darker the berry, the sweeter the juice. No, it's the blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice. We got to see. You know what I mean?
So I think that's where I'm going. Are you okay? You game with that one?
Yeah, man. Either one. I all of them sounded sexy, you know. Well, not the second one. She didn't sound sexy, but she sounded. I was curious. She had my attention, though. I was intrigued. It was something about her.
Ooh. Yeah, darker the berry, the sweeter the juice. Mm. All right, pervy sniff moment over. wait, one more sniff. Shout out to Floss.
Flossy Carter.
That thing smelled nice, man. I ain't gonna lie. As soon as I took that thing out the plastic, it smelled nice. All right, so I'm doing a punch of sort. Sometimes, hey, look, you don't have your tools available to you. Like, rookie mistake. Didn't bring my punch or my cut to the fight, but I'm getting this thing chipped off anyway.
All right. And right off the bat, I'm getting some light skin vibes.
Ooh, light skin vibes. But come on, Gilberto. Come on, Gilberto.
But better than I'm accustomed to it being.
Okay.
You know, sometimes, man, we be a little hesitant with that Connecticut. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That Connecticut rapper. Be hit or miss, but not bad. Some of the stuff that I don't like about these lighter rappers, but not bad. Considering it's a lighter rapper, which is what I expected. I expected him to do it right.
All right, peeling a little bit. That's on me. Hey, so check this out, man. So coming up, actually, probably after the episode's already dropped, it would have been St. Patrick's Day.
Okay. Happy St. Patty Day to all of you to celebrate.
So I was going to go tequila for my drink of choice to pair, but I got some J-Mo in the stash, man. We're gonna do. I'm gonna
an
do
Irish
some
whiskey. Irish
whiskey, yeah. Just cause. In the spirit of the festivities.
Yeah.
All right, I think we lit. One more match might do the trick.
Now, this thing is giving me a nice, even burn right off the bat. That is pretty even now. Well done, well done. Well done, me friend.
All right, there we go. I think we're good to go. You know, never expect too much from my burns. My burns are usually always uneven.
Most of the time, yeah.
15 years in the game, and, you know, it is just... At this point, it's just like, it is what it is. I still feel comfortable with my smokes. I still get it done. So it's okay. Still okay. So
it's nice aroma coming off this, too.
Is it? All right, yeah, good. Really nice. I expect that. So let me go ahead and pull up my details. Of course, I got to go back through all my picks. Let me see. Make sure I pick up the right one. There we go, the black. So let me give you the rundown of this guy. So on the profile, about as red as it can get is what it says on the profile. And I will say I'm not getting that right off the jump.
Yeah.
Quite yet. So that could be on me. But we have Connecticut, broadleaf, Dominican Republic, origin, binder, Sumatra. So that's probably why the profile is so high. Filler Mexican and Nicaraguan. So I'm expecting some spices to really jump out at me. We'll see what happens. Right, we might need one more match to boot. Tro. Like I said, it is St. Patrick's Day, right? And St. Patrick's Day usually goes with in correlation to spring break time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's getting their spring break in. They're drinking. They're St. Patrick's Day vibes, festivities, all those great things. But recently, it's been a call for some change when it comes to spring break. And we all know how spring break goes. Especially if you're from the early 90s. I mean, from the early 2000s. And you remember Spring Bling, Spring Break, Cancun. What's the joint that MTV used to do?
Yeah, the Cancun joint. I never made it to that.
Spring Bling was BET.
Spring Bling was BET version. I don't know the MTV version, but I know they used to go. It was Spring Break Cancun. Ain't that what it was called or something like that? I don't think they had something a fancy like name like Spring, like BET did. Might have been. I don't remember. But Spring Bling was BET's one, though.
Yeah. But I get it. MTV Spring Break. That's what it was. MTV Spring Break. But we all remember those moments and the fun and the festivities in it, right? We know how it used to go down. I'm pretty sure things got wild and crazy, you know. Celebrities coming out, doing their thing. Spring Break's always been a time. You know, we enjoyed a little bit of spring break festivities when we were in college, our college years.
Yeah.
It's necessary, right?
Necessary.
But one place that a lot of people love to hit is, of course, not always Cancun. And my cigar keeps burning out on me. Not always Cancun, but Miami. Miami's always been a spring break destination. Always been a spring break destination. And, you know, it's when you're all out of towners. And this is Chad Ocho Single, too, who is a Miami native, I believe, right? Miami? He's from Miami, right?
He is. Yep, Miami.
So this is to his home. So maybe he can, if he has some say in this, I wonder how he feels about it. But Miami's decided to do some changes. They decided to do some changes this year as far as how they're receiving spring break. And a lot of rule changes, regulations, curfews, to where they're not allowing certain things to happen. And, you know, me and you, we've been down to Miami. We've enjoyed day drinking and cigars and walking up Ocean Drive and, you know, with our cups and cigars and doing our thing.
Yeah.
No more public intoxication and walking around with your beverages. Can't smoke on the beach. And I'm talking about, you know what I'm saying, stuff other than cigars. You know, cigars. You know, so they're policing people being able to smoke and drink and do certain things and curfews, especially for those who are out of towners. And this is Miami. So what it sounds like to me is Miami's just over when it comes to spring break. They said, stop bringing that out of towner stuff to our city. Stop turning up way too high. Yeah. Stop causing all these issues and doing too much when it comes to spring break. How you feel about that? And this is Miami, man.
Well, man, it saddens me that we've reached this point where Miami had to get rid of the people. Miami said, you know what? We enjoy the money, but you can keep your money. It ain't worth the cost that you people are creating and the issues you're creating amongst our citizens. And I get it. I get it. We've officially done too much out there drinking and shooting and destroying the city, running it through the ground, not appreciative of someone else's home or the people that live there, ruining the experience for everybody, you know. And Florida's tired of their tax dollars having to clean up behind you fools after y'all leave. Yeah. And you've ruined it, just like you ruined so much other stuff. We said it in previous episodes, people ruin everything. You have ruined Miami. Miami, you know how hard it is for a city to say, we don't want your money? You know how many millions of dollars they're turning away? That's how bad you people are.
Yeah.
You suck. You've ruined Miami for everybody. And now, and people are going to blame Florida like Florida wrong. But no, it's our fault. We're to blame. They want your money. But when it gets bad enough to the point where they'll turn your money away, say, like, go somewhere else. Go spend it somewhere else, man, because y'all cost more than y'all make us.
Yeah. Yeah. So all these out-of-towners coming from near and far, we're talking about all the way from New York and Chicago, they're going to Miami. Or we're going to Miami. You know, from Tennessee to Miami. People probably flying in from Oregon to Miami. They done California and LA enough. They want to go check out Miami. And Miami is saying, we good.
We good. We good on that. We cool on that, y'all. Y'all go y'all way, man. Y'all done shot up the place too much. Y'all done had too many fist fights and stuff. We good, man. We don't even need that type of attention no more. That look is bad for us at this point in time. A shame. And now they just running on up to Orlando, ruining Orlando now. Like,
for a lot of them, getting it right now.
Yeah, man.
So with Miami being a home of yours and having a fond place in your heart, which I'm sure it does, how do you feel about it? Do you, especially at our age that we're at now, right? And I want to get this twofold from you. So if you were younger and experienced in Miami how we experienced Miami in our 20s, and knowing what Miami meant to us in our 20s and the times that we had in Miami in our 20s, and now some youngsters are being denied that opportunity. You know, some who are valid in their love of that type of environment, right? Not those who want to just come and be rambunctious, leave a bunch of just mess, and then go back about their business and back to their hoods and doing their thing, you know. But what we've taken away from our trips to Miami and how we've enjoyed Miami, or versus how you are now and saying, you know what? Miami's a place I want to come, and I want to go sit on my balcony and look at the bay, Biscayne Bay, and all this stuff, and relax. And I don't want none of that mess. I'm good on it too. I feel you, Miami. How are you, like? How do you teeter with your idea of that being a thing for spring break?
Is it good for teeter at all? I am entirely on the side that you said last. Get that mess out of Miami. I don't want it there. That's where I stand. I don't care what kid misses out on it at this point in time, because you've allowed your constituents to ruin it for you. So, you know, and get it out of there, because me as an old man, when I come back, I don't want no parts of it.
You want
no
parts of it?
I'm gone.
I feel you.
I'm gone by the time I get there, so I can have a nice, peaceful trip with my family and enjoy it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so, yeah, I stand clearly on the side of that.
That's where I am now. You know, I get it. People who came and they did what they did, but we've always approached Miami differently. Mm-hmm. We wanted to see Miami on other levels. And I've always heard people who go to Miami like, Miami spring break, I've done that. Or Miami's overplayed, it's played out, I've done it. And my thing with people when I hear that is like, if you think Miami is played out, you've never done Miami. Like, you only got to a certain ceiling and you thought that was it.
Yeah. That's
it. So for those people who are
underachieved in Miami,
you've underachieved. If you feel like you've topped out of Miami and you're in a certain tax bracket, you've underachieved in Miami. And like you said, good riddance to you.
Yeah, you can go.
You can go. You done here? You done here? All right. Yeah. You ain't got to go back to Miami. We good on you. We don't need you.
Yeah, go ruin some other city, man. Go spring break in Raleigh. How about that? Get out of here, though, man. We don't need you.
Or go spring break in San Antonio.
Ugh.
They was out of the Riverwalk, man. It's like, yo, it ain't sick out here.
Yeah.
Other options, but for real. But like, just seeing it and saying, hey, look, there's other options. If this is not for you, go somewhere else. If Miami's played out, because I don't see how Miami, if you do it right and you keep stepping up that level, it can never get played out. It can never get played out. You've played out what you're able to do and what you're able to do.
As far as your income allows you to go in Miami, or as far as your vision of life allows you to go. But it's more. I mean, that's the thing. Like, man, We a lot of times, man, we got life messed up. Like, I guess we think there's something more magical out there, man. But the stuff we all have around us, everybody got in the world. You know, there are places in Africa, and Africa's looked down upon like it's just this impoverished continent. But the same stuff to do out there as it is out here. Like, we all kind of doing the same thing, but our land all looks slightly different.
Landscape is just different,
The landscape is different. So there's always you're going to always find everything that you have to do in Miami, a city like that. Like, maybe if you come to Atlanta, there's certain things you're going to lack because there's no beaches and there's no water. You know what I mean? But, like, Miami, it's everything. You know what I'm saying? There's certain cities that got everything. You go to L.A., you're going to have everything to do. You know what I mean? Like, except for mountains and stuff, obviously. You know what I mean? Whatever the limitations of the land is, yeah. You know, but you're not going and
stuff like Miami. That. You're not skiing.
Yeah. So, you know, but... Yeah, man, your Miami can't get played out, man. Unless you just don't like that type of environment, then yeah, it ain't for you. It's played out. But as long as the environment is what you like, the actual city pretty much has what you need. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it, I mean, if that's the case, Paris can get played out. Anywhere can get played out in the world if you ain't feeling you know the environment.
I've heard people complain about Paris. And they say it ain't all that's cracked up to be, which Paris has never been like a destination for me. France overall, yes. French Riviera, I want to be on the coast. Yeah. Nice, France. That's always been my aim. Yeah. Paris, yeah, Nice. Yeah, yeah. I'll go over there and check it out. But Nice,
yeah, some point.
That's where I'm trying to be. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But so. The whole thing about things getting played out, I think when it's called about being played out, it's you've played out your ability to experience certain things, especially when you talk about a place like Miami. I never want to hear anybody say that.
Yeah, man. That's where I stand. And they can go. If it's played out, go. And everything works in cycles anyway. If it's played out now, y'all go away for about 10 years and it'll be popping again in another 10 years for the next generation. You know,
yeah.
This generation, they can go find something else to do, man. Man, go look on the internet and there's all kind of videos posted telling you exciting places to go visit, man. Like you say, go hang out in El Paso or something, man. Go somewhere else, man. Go to Phoenix. Hang out in Nebraska or something, man. Go somewhere new, man. Try Denver, come on, man. You know.
Don't put Nebraska and El Paso in this. No, all right, never mind. Go ahead.
Hey, man, you know, El Paso, Raleigh, you know what I'm saying? They all kind of the same for me, man. Like,
I don't know. I feel different. I feel different.
I'm just kidding.
El Paso has a fond place in my heart, man. But I'm not, but nah, I mean, Taco Cabana. But anyway, How you feeling about your cigar, man? How's Gilberto holding up over there?
I feel like I could go smoke this on a sunny day, on a hot day. I could go outside and it's mellow and light enough where I wouldn't feel hot and heavy, like a weight on me smoking this cigar. Yeah. It's very light and airy, very creamy cigar. Being in that cedar wrapping, a lot of that cedar is coming through on this particular stick.
I like that.
I got some coffee notes on this one also that I've been picking up on. And, that's kind of what I got to say about it as of now.
Okay.
A little bit of a sweetness, light sweetness to it also.
Like I said, I'm in the stands right now watching this go down. I'm watching the fight and I'm cheering on Gilberto. I want to see Gilberto do well today. For that name.
Nice morning cigar. You know what I mean? Like okay. You go eat some dessert and smoke this or something. You know what I'm saying? I'm exaggerating a little bit, but in that vein, though, you know what I mean? Like it's easy going, but it's good. Well done, though.
Okay. It's hard for me to judge mine. I don't know if you've been seeing on my end. I've been having a fight getting this cigar lit and keeping it lit. So I think I'm at a consistent point to where I'm finally burning and evenly at that. I finally get some quality puffs now. So the pepper is finally hitting. Now that I'm able to get some quality puffs, but the aroma is nice on top of the pepper. So I think it's a good combination here. You don't really get that strong pepper with really nice aroma. So I'm seeing that kind of marry right now. And it's a good place to be. It's a good place to be.
Okay. Quick question on that. Is that user error or is that construction issues that you're running into?
I'm liking to say construction.
Okay.
Because the amount of matches that I had to run through, I would have a hard time. And maybe I'm patting myself on the back too much. But I'd like to say I've lit enough cigars to say, nah, man. Even with me having to pinch the end, that I should have still been okay. I should have still been okay with how I had to go ahead and get my end cut right here. But
yeah,
maybe. I don't know. I'm going to say construction over user.
Okay.
But hey, so Miami's over spring break. Miami said, hey, we done with spring break. But Miami's not the only thing that's done with something.
Okay.
Apparently, we got basketball fans. And I don't know if I really want to call them basketball fans. Or maybe it's too soon to even make that statement. But we done with the 90s.
Yeah.
We done with,
done with the 90s.
We done with the 90s. Are we really done with the 90s? Come on, man. Break this down to me. Tell me what this whole we done with the 90s is all about.
Man.
Scratch his forehead.
We'll start here. This is what we done with the 90s is. We done with the 90s is birth out of something that probably every generation has felt at some point, mm-hmm. but never quite voiced it this way. Maybe because we didn't have social media in existence to voice it this way. But I would say at some point, my generation probably watched Jerry West and some of them boys from back in the day play and say, you know, they couldn't play with our generation. Mm-hmm. And now we reached a point where the youth feel like the 90s and the 80s couldn't play with their generation. And they tired of hearing old heads say that the reverse. They tired of the old heads saying that the young boys can't play in the old heads generation. So now somebody got clever and decided to go find a bunch of lowlights from the 90s to prove their point. You know, that the 90s was overrated. So now they saying they done with the 90s. It's a lot of taking things out of context, you know.
Yeah.
It's a lot of taking things out of context in order to get to that point. Because yeah. I will say this, any generation of basketball, you can do that. You can do that. You can take clips from any mm-hmm. generation and show. Because if you play the sport of basketball, there will be lowlights in it. I don't care what level you play it at, there are going to be some mess ups because humans are playing the sport and humans going to trip and fall and stumble and miss a pass, throw it out of bounds, or shoot air ball occasionally. It happens in basketball.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that this generation, you know, they took it personal because the older generation has been attacking a generation. But I think where they misunderstood is our generation never really denied that this generation was talented as far as being athletically gifted. They're gifted. Right. They're more athletic players in the league now than ever before.
Yeah.
But just because you're athletic doesn't mean that you really know how to play the game of basketball. And I think this generation is missing the fact that we're saying, you guys don't know how to play the game. You're playing it wrong. You know what I'm saying? Not that you're not talented, but you're just playing in a way that lacks effort and lacks a lot of the fundamentals, and that's needed. And if you watch this generation, what the teams that look, man, fundamental teams have always been great. The teams that play team ball are the ones that tend to win most often. Yeah. You look at LeBron's teams that gave him the most trouble. It was the Spurs. It was the Golden State Warriors. Both teams that play team ball.
Fundamentally sound.
Who just won a ring?
another big fundamental.
Another big fundamental, the Denver Nuggets. So, like,
it's
fundamentals don't get old. Like, you know, the Flash might not be there in the 90s, but a lot of that is due to the fact that the way the game was reffed and the way the game was played. Not inability to do it, you know what I mean? Like, but... Mm-hmm. You got to think about it. And one was birthed out of 90s street ball.
The 90s. Thank you for saying that. Thank you for saying that.
Birthed out of 90s street ball. The moves existed. You couldn't get away with it. It would get called.
Right. You couldn't take three steps and say, well, no, this was a gather step with this and this. And the way, like you said, the way the game was called kept things in a box to where they couldn't do certain things, even though you said, and one, like birthed out of 90s basketball. even though a lot of it went from the late 90s into the early 2000s, that was 90s. That stemmed from 90s basketball. So all the tricks and stuff, I remember being in high school trying to learn the and-one tricks and all this. Allen Iverson came out in the 90s, and he was doing things with the ball and the Reebok commercials, and the skill was there. The Kyrie skills were there, but they couldn't be cultivated in a certain way because the game didn't allow it. The flow of the game didn't allow it. But now they want the game to be so more offensively driven that they've taken the shackles off and say, go be more creative offensively to make the game more exciting, to where now we're doing all these different things to make it seem like the players are more skilled. Not saying, and that they are more, like you said, more athletic, but not more skilled, in my opinion.
Right.
If you go back and watch the old Penny Hardaway film or some Tim Hardaway film, you see some Kevin Johnson film, those guys were skilled, but certain things that they couldn't allow their game to evolutionize into, it was because there was certain parameters on the game and the way the game was played. So you couldn't do certain things. You know, the first time the Euro step was done, it was called as a travel. So you weren't allowed to build on that. Not saying they couldn't have built on it, but they weren't allowed. You couldn't get to that point of building to where some of the players are built to now. So not saying they didn't have the athleticism or the strength. Those guys were athletic. You look at some of the things they were doing, but it's the game had to grow in a certain way for it to get to where we are now, athletically.
Right. Agreed, man. As soon as, like you say, we had our Tim Hardaways. We had our Kenny Anderson, who is Kyrie's godfather. Who you think behind that sweet handle he got? A 90s dude. Like, you know what I'm saying? So
famous we had these line, guys. Steve Francis.
Steve
Francis might have been like 90s.
No, like 2000. Early 2000. But look, even then, include him. Jake Will. We had all these dudes. We had Rafe Alston. Skip to my loop. I mean, that's not 90s, but combine 90s with 2000 because it's the same exact game.
It's the same exact game.
The game didn't evolve yet until the 10s is when it started changing. But early 2000s and 90s, the game didn't change. They were playing the same ball. If you're done with the 90s, you're done with the 2000s. Because it was still out of that same... They were playing the game in that same cloth. Only thing changed was they added a zone. But other than that...
Yeah.
Same intensity, same style of ball, same team ball, same fundamentals.
All your KGs who went to the 2000s, 90s ball. Kobe's who went to the 2000s, 90s ball.
Yeah, Shaq, all of them. Carter, Ray Allen... Iverson, whoever you want to name, you know what I'm saying? That they all from the 90s and stuff like that. Your Jason Kidd, all these dudes from the 90s, man.
So just
Tim
just
Duncan, didn't he come in 99? Like they all...
He won a chip in the 90s.
He won a chip in the 90s. Come on, man. Get out of here, man. These dudes... You know what?
And like the whole we're done with the 90s, like you said, they compile all these lowlights and try to make it seem like this is what the game was. But anybody who's lived and seen it in real time, we know what time it is. You know, it's all poison in the mind of those who weren't there to see it. And I've seen this one clip of MJ and them talking about not the whole no left thing. That's a whole nother story, because we got clips of Jordan going left all day in the air with the left and coming up around the hoop and driving to the left. I'm just talking about like the level of skill when we talk about who he beat in the 90s to win a chip, right? And somebody mentioned the Seattle Supersonics, like Gary Payton and One Trick Pony, Sean Kemp. Do you know what them boys was doing in the 90s? You can't tell me nothing about the Portland team with Clyde Drexler. And this, if you just use the name Jerome Kersey or Terry Porter or those guys, if you saw how they played the game as a team, those names meant something.
Yeah.
Dallas Shrimp, yeah. Sean Kemp, Gary Payton, Kendall Gibb.
Those are names. That don't sound like nothing today. Those are names, bro. Like You mentioned Baron Davis earlier. Baron Davis will be forgotten one day. That dude was raw. Like, that dude was a problem. And he is not... One day, in another 10 years, somebody going to say Baron Davis, and he going to get looked at like a bum. You said Steve Francis. He going to get looked at like who? These dudes was the truth. You know what I mean? Yeah. At one point in time. And I got news for you.
That Jordan went up against.
Yeah. Hey, look, man, I'm going to be honest. And this is, they get that, a lot of that Fresh and Jordan's competition in the finals is to big up LeBron, but I don't think LeBron's competition in the finals is no better.
No.
I don't see where his competition was that great. Let's go through it.
One of the biggest competitions. Well, go ahead.
Let's go through it. The Spurs was his biggest competition.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Duncan, greatest power forward of all time, given. But at the same time, just a regular old drafted team. Nothing special about him.
Ginobili,
a bench player. Tony Parker, pretty solid. How many all-star appearances is Tony in, though? Tony won't like...
And these names, that Ginobili and that Tony Parker, you look 20 years from now, the same thing you said about a Baron Davis. Mm-hmm. They'll be like, who?
It will be forgotten. Tony Parker and Ginobili will be forgotten in 20 years. They were good, but they're going to be forgotten Bruce in 20 Bowen? Years. Tim Duncan is the only memorable name.
You lost to Bruce Bowen? You let a team with Bruce Bowen beat you?
Yeah. Yeah, that's how that's going to get looked at. So... They were great dynasty. They were dynasty. Great team. But is the actual names on that roster, is it any better than the names against the Phoenix Suns? Is Martin, it really?
You know what I'm KJ, saying? Cedric Sabalas. Come on. That guy was damn Martin. But you put 30 years later, you go ahead and you say these names and you make it look like it's nothing. Mm-hmm. But you go back in 1993. Or 92, whatever year it was, those guys were guys.
Yeah.
Back then. And especially you put the team, like you said, you build the teams together, just like a Bruce Bowen, a Ginobili, a Tony Parker with Tim Duncan. It looks like, who did he beat?
Yeah. So I don't think Spurs, at it on paper, don't look that much different than the Suns that Jordan beat. Then you look at the Dallas Mavericks, you lost to who? Dirk Nowitzki, you know what I'm saying? Dirk is good, but Dirk
Terry
was like all time
old boy name Terry.
Jason Terry.
You let Jason Terry Mark beat Barrera? You? He doing this all on you all day.
Yeah,
you let that guy
Barrera, Barreja, whatever his name was. Him.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about
the little Spanish dude off the bench. Yeah. He went off on you. Like who was on that team today? Did we remember? You know what I'm saying? Like. What was special about that team? Yeah. Okay, let's keep going on through. Who else did he lose to? It was Dallas. It was the Spurs. He got one against the OKC. But at the time, it was a young team. He was supposed to get that.
Yeah, young KD, young Westbrook, young James Harden.
That team
Serge Ibaka.
James Harden, before he was established, he was still a bench warmer. You know what I'm saying? Like. Mm-hmm. That team ain't no better than the Sonics. It's a Sonics level team. You know what I'm saying? Like, so what you got there? That name, that win aged well, but it didn't. It wasn't that fantastic in the moment.
Yeah, not that time.
Not in the moment. It just aged well. Now we move on and Miami. You beat Miami in the bubble. You know what I'm saying?
The bubble. Yeah. Who'd you beat? Jimmy Butler, who else?
And who else? That's your competition is better than Jordan's? I don't see it. That Miami Heat team ain't better than the Knicks Jordan would beat in the Eastern Conference Finals or the Pacers.
Let's not even go down that route as far as like who you beat on the way to the finals. Yes.
Right.
Who should be on the way to the finals? Now, you're just talking about the Western Conference winners who he went up against in the finals. Let's not start breaking down the rosters of who he beat in the semifinals, in the first round, second round.
Right.
You know what I mean? Let's not do that. Let's not break down those rosters.
Don't look that much better to me. Okay, Golden State. That's the one. Golden State.
That's the one.
Well, think about it this way. Golden State is a drafted team that overachieved. The only time that team became special was when they made one trade and got one additional player to their roster.
Yeah. They got Kevin Durant.
One player addition.
Yeah. Yeah. They were just some homegrown guys.
A regular 90s team. They could shoot. That's all they were.
Yeah.
They just,
built it from the draft. And don't get me wrong. I'm not taking anything away from the feat because coming back from 3-1, that was a feat. And I remember watching it in real time. And this is what I say, and I was talking to my son. It's like, nobody's denying how great LeBron is. A lot of us have him number two all time, which is...
Yes.
How many players who's ever played a game to be number two? That's a solid spot.
Yeah.
And we've seen LeBron do some extraordinary things in his time. But then we've seen him do some extraordinarily bad things. Like, he just wasn't...
We've seen him look very weak and fragile at points also.
Yeah. And I was explaining that when my Pistons were prominent in the Eastern Conference, that LeBron was always in the back of my mind until he took over that one game in the Eastern Conference Finals and he became scary at one point. Okay. Mm-hmm. You got my attention now, LeBron. But for a good 4 years, all right, I see LeBron. He's LeBron. But I was worried about the Pacers. Boston. I was worried about the Bulls. I was worried about Boston. That's who I was worried about as a Pistons fan. I was not worried about LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers for a good 4 years.
You were more worried about D. Rose, right?
I was worried about D. Rose and what's the other dude? It was another guy on the Bulls. I can't remember his name.
Dark-skinned dude or white dude?
Dark-skinned dude. And a white dude, too. Yeah, Gordon.
And Heinrich and Gordon?
Heinrich, Gordon, and D. Rose. I was worried about them guys.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's who I was worried about. I wasn't worried about
LeBron. I remember that.
Like, bring LeBron on. Let's get him up out of the way. And let's get on to the Bulls. Let's get
the Pacers. You know what's crazy, right? LeBron came into the league when the league had a lot of Jordan residue on it. It was still playing like Jordan's league. You know what I mean? And throughout that time, he was an exciting player to watch. He's fun to watch.
He was.
Nobody was really worried about him. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. This whole where he ended up at in history, you knew it was possible, but.
It wasn't
a guarantee.
He still had to cut through Tracy McGrady. He still had to cut through Vince Carter. He still had to cut through Kobe Bryant, which in some people's opinion, he's still trying to cut through Kobe Bryant's legacy.
Yeah.
He had a lot of guys to cut through to get to where he's at that. And for those who've seen him come in from day one.
Yeah. Yeah.
As adults, not as kids. You know what I'm saying? Idolizing the guy. We're looking at him as, okay, you're almost peer level with us, younger than us, as far as, all right, we're going to see where this goes. But I was not worried about you for a good 4 straight years until you actually showed something like, all right, well, okay, we got something here. And then he made it to the finals, just like a AI made it to the finals with a bunch of nobodies and lost.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give LeBron credit for taking his team to the finals and losing. Just as much credit as we give AI for making it to the finals and losing. I give LeBron James the same credit as being a superstar on your team, taking your team to the finals and losing. And you got swept. He got swept, right? At least AI got one.
He got swept.
At least AI got one.
AI got one.
Against Kobe and Shaq.
Yeah.
Against Kobe and Shaq.
Prime Kobe, prime Shaq. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's the thing.
Making a statement. Still iconic in your loss.
That's an iconic moment.
Nothing LeBron did was iconic in his loss.
Nah. But see, that's what the thing is. We remember that version of him. Like, when he was just another, I hate to call him another player because he was more than another player, but he was kind of just another player in the league. He was like another really good player in the league, and he had a lot of hype and interest in him, but he wasn't the man yet. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so we all just kind of remember that version where he was another one of the top guys in the league, but he wasn't the top guy. Like, you know, so I watched him be just good in the league all the way through the 2000s and stuff. Mm-hmm. He didn't really come into his own until the Miami years.
Miami, yeah.
Yeah. And then, even in the Miami years, he went 2 out of 4. And what I would say is probably the greatest team ever put together at that point in time.
Yeah, what'd you say? For sure. I said, and look weak two times. Look very out weak of those, two times.
Yes. And now, look, Bron created the super team. Boston might get credit for the super team, but up until that point, no team had ever got compiled a group of all-stars together or former all-stars in their prime. Mm-hmm. Miami was the first to ever get three dudes in their prime. Before that, you might have got an old Barkley and an old Pippen teaming
with Drexler. I'm not even saying Ray Allen was in his prime at that point. Ray Allen wasn't prime Ray Allen at that point.
In Boston?
Yeah, in Boston. He wasn't prime
Ray Allen. And KG wasn't either. Think of it this way. Boston came together in 2007. KG was drafted in 95. He's 12 years in the league at this point in time.
Yeah.
96 is when Ray Allen came in the league. 11 years in the league. Paul Pierce was the only one in his prime during that team. So that team was scary, but they were over the hill. You know what I'm saying? Like, they still had some left in the tank.
Yeah, they weren't under 10 years in the league. Six and seven years in the league.
No. They were on the last part of they time in the league at that point in time. But they had stuff left in the tank. But Miami was, nobody had ever seen three guys, all-stars, come together in their prime. So that team went 2-for-4 when Bron was the king of the league and still lost twice to some teams they probably shouldn't have lost to. You know what I mean? Like, so all these go towards him looking very human to the people who lived throughout this. Great player, but we just seen him look human way too often.
Way too often.
In moments he shouldn't have looked human. Like,
And here's the thing is, like, they talk about the physicality in the 80s and the 90s, right? And LeBron looked human without the physicality. And I know a lot of these 2020s guys or late 2010s guys hate hearing about the physicality of the league in the 90s and the 80s. But to be able to be skilled enough to navigate through those tough waters, those brute waters, and it still gets your game off, that says something. Just like we saw the All-Star game just this past last month or whatever, right? And we saw them score 200-some points. You can score 200 points when there's lack of defense, mm-hmm. or the game is called in a way that allows you to do certain things that you couldn't get away with 20, 30 years ago. You can score 200 points.
Yeah, these are professionals shooting the basketball.
Yeah, you can get your game off with the game being played the way it's being played, when it's hands off, where people are sagging back to where there's no deterrence from coming into the lane. There's no deterrence for even just taking a jump shot, because you take a jump shot, you're going to come down on something. Somebody going to let you know to make it, next time you touch the ball, it's going to be a problem. Like, that still takes some kind of skill and resolve to be able to get your game off with the game being physical. It still takes a level of skill to be able to navigate those waters. When you don't have those obstacles to have to play against, you can get your game off and you can go get triple doubles like it's nobody's business. So the game is played differently. So I hate when people try to, oh, it's because nobody wrestling you and throwing elbows at you. Yeah, okay, there were some less skilled guys on the team there just to be muscle. But to be great through that, that's still, you got to give a nod to it. I don't see how you not give a nod to it. Because anybody can go in the park and play by themselves and do all the moves and get off on a game and score 40, 50 points every single night and be straight. Yep.
Look at this. Bron caught a glimpse of it. He caught a glimpse of it in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. That's why he was mentally broken by Boston and he was mentally broken by Detroit.
Ooh, yeah.
He caught a glimpse of it. We saw him look regular against those teams. So we see a glimpse of what he would have looked like in the 90s. Really good player and could be mentally broken. It could be mentally broken. You know what I'm saying? Like,
when you have my Pistons team holding you to 68 points in a whole game, you were still LeBron. You was a younger LeBron, a more athletic LeBron.
Yeah.
And your team still only scored 65 points against my team. Yeah. What does that mean?
Yeah. So now all of a sudden, because y'all can go for 100 points a game, LeBron is shooting better now, I guess. You know what I'm saying? Like, all of a sudden his statistics are better. You telling me that he ain't putting up more points because the league didn't get a little easier to score in? Luka himself came out and said, hey, man, it's easier to score in this NBA than it is the European League.
European League.
He was averaging 16 points in the European League, came to the NBA and became a force. What does that tell you?
Like, hey, and check this out. This is something else I wanted to make sure I mentioned this. So this is something else I was talking with my son about. as far as the eye test when it comes to looking at comparing who the players were in the 90s, 80s, 70s, we go back to 60s and say, because that guy didn't look, when we're looking back, not in real time, but we're looking at the game in just a vacuum in that moment and saying that guy doesn't look athletic. There's no way that he can be good. Mm-hmm. But then who are your two top players right now? They don't look athletic. You got the Joker, you got athletic. Luka.
They're not athletic.
But they're the two top players in the league right now. And if somebody 20, 30 years from now goes back and puts up tape and saying, that's who you lost to, that guy can't move. He sucks. He's not athletic. He's not skilled. He can't play basketball, but that's who you lost to. But those same players look exactly like the players in the 80s and the 90s, skill-wise. Mm-hmm. Luka looked almost exactly like Detlef Schrempf.
He's a throwback player.
Luka's a throwback player, and Joker. They throwback players.
They look just
Kawhi
like
Kawhi Leonard's
guys.
A throwback player. Like, you know, these guys are throwback players.
The way he plays sometimes looks exactly like Tony Kukoc. You know what I'm saying?
Just like it, bro. Just like it.
Reminds me of just, but the thing is, like, if you just go off the eye test and you take yourself out of the moment in time, like, I can't deny and say Joker's not a great player. Like, he's balling. He's doing his thing. And like, man, there's nothing you can do about it. But just off the eye test, and I'm telling you, 30 years from now, 20 years from now, you're going to look back and see and say that player wasn't great because of how he moved on the court. And they look at these guys and say, oh, Kareem, that's your guy, Mr. Skyhook? That's who y'all call the GOAT?
Yeah. Some kids is going to do it right back to y'all. It's coming. And I got, and here's another point. Speaking of how easy it is to score in this league, we going to act like in 2016, Kobe Bryant didn't score 60 points in his last game as an old man? Yeah. Came in the league in 96. You know what I mean? Like, he scored 60. What you think a prime Kobe really would have been doing against these guys? And Kobe
busy.
Is not better than Jordan. That's his carbon copy. That's Jordan's carbon copy. So for y'all that think Jordan wouldn't have done nothing in y'all league now, y'all crazy.
That's a good point. Kobe was getting off in, like you said, 2016. And Kobe is almost the same player that Jordan was. And if Kobe was able to do that, you don't think Jordan could do the same? That's a good point. I was making this correlation with my brother, right? My oldest brother. And it was more so of a one-on-one player. Who's the better one-on-one player? Is it Jordan or LeBron, right? And if they played one-on-one, would LeBron best Jordan? And I said no. I stood firm on that because there's a clip out there where Kobe and Jordan and LeBron go ISO, right?
Mm-hmm.
And LeBron had nothing for Kobe. Had nothing
for
Kobe.
You got a glimpse of what it would look like.
Nothing for Kobe. So for me, that was that glimpse to say if Kobe locked down LeBron, and there's several instances of this on film where Kobe's locking down LeBron in ISO and LeBron has absolutely nothing. Yeah. What do you think he would do against Jordan? The same absolutely nothing.
Yeah, the inventor of those moves that Kobe was using. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Kobe was getting busy on him. Then on defense, Kobe was locking him down. And LeBron was just looking very human. And this is no diss against LeBron. Like I said, he's number two all time. But I'm just saying.
Yeah, man. LeBron is great, man. It always sounds like, you know, people don't think he's great when we get into this. But like we always say, whenever you start talking about the top level, you got to start nitpicking. That's the only way to separate and show the division amongst the highest level. So LeBron's great, man, but he just, I don't know, man. We lived through all of it, and it just don't seem like he could. I don't think he would have nothing for it, man. You know what I'm saying?
I hate to put this all on LeBron's back, the whole we done with the 90s. It's kind of
That's his fans. It's his fans.
You think it's his fans that's doing this?
Without a doubt, it's his fans. Because they going around pushing the narrative to bring Mike down. See, when you got to bring somebody else down to uplift somebody,
Yeah, it is a direct attack. A lot of these we done with the 90s, it is a direct attack on Jordan.
Yeah.
So, you got a point. Yeah. Because the whole we done with the 90s is a direct attack on Michael Jordan. It is.
Yeah.
It is.
And I even heard Gilbert Arenas come out and try to act like Jordan was on PEDs now all of a sudden because the LeBron PED talk came out. Yeah, like, man, get out of here, bro. Like, man, y'all crazy as hell, man. Like, get out of here with that.
I think LeBron and Pippen got together and said, hey, man, we got to do something. Help me, I'll help you. Scratch my back, I scratch yours.
It's looking crazy, man. Like, you ain't got to bring... Look, man, ultimately, we go back to... we're like a broken record with this. None of us were Jordan. Me and him, me and Deep, not Jordan fans. Not Jordan. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, what's real is real, man. The dude was he's the standard. Jordan is the bar that's been set ultimately for greatness and for greatest of all time. He's the bar. Now, whatever sport you're talking, whatever genre you're talking, people say, is that the Michael Jordan of that? Therefore, you're the standard. You're the bar. Is he the Michael Jordan of football? That's the standard. So when you're done with the 90s and you're trying to be done with Mike, you're trying to be done with standards because you couldn't reach it. Honestly, so now you got to try to steal it.
It's a bar,
and that's where we at now. They trying to steal the crown because they can't live up to standards no more, man. Yeah. Just meet the standard of greatness, man. He's the standard, and if you want LeBron to be the standard, he just slightly missed it, just slightly. Kobe just slightly missed it too. You know what I'm saying? It ain't no harm in it. Somebody will eventually outdo Mike if as long as people just keep playing with effort. But as long as you had this league where there's no effort, you can never top a dude that gave his all on the court. And that's the difference, man. That's the difference.
Yeah, man.
Mike left it all on the floor every night. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I don't see a lot of guys doing that no more.
Every year, playing 80 plus games a year. That says something. So all in all, I say we not done with the 90s. And we could have went so far deep.
You could have kept cooking on this.
Done with the 90s.
It's more
to this. And we're not even just talking about basketball. Like, and before we close this out, just to say this, like, we went from a time of people relishing the 90s as of recent, right? So now we done with the 90s. And not just talking about basketball, but I heard this in music. I heard this with so many other different areas of the 90s. It's like, maybe we're just sounding like old heads and we're just looking into our 90s era and we're nostalgic with it, which is fine. Most people are going to be nostalgic about the era that they grew up in. But the 90s had it, man. The music in the 90s, ball in the 90s, the movies in the 90s, the soundtracks in the 90s. Now we ain't done with the 90s. We ain't done with the 90s.
Hey, look, man, I think if you could put some of these games in HD and make them look clear, the kids could enjoy it a little bit more. You know what I mean? But, like, yeah, man, it's not going to have some of the fancy crossovers they weren't allowed. It's not going to have the music ain't going to have some of the clarity in it or the fancy 808s because they weren't doing it yet. But
it was
quality in it. It was an effort that was in it. The music had an effort in it because people would spend weeks and months on a song sometime versus freestyling it. It's just an effort that's missing nowadays. And I think the old heads just would like to see a little more effort. It's not that the talent's not there, but just try.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just try.
And that's one thing, like I would say this, like you just said, not the talent is not there. I've never said, or I haven't heard too many people from the 90s like that of our age group and say that people aren't talented. No, there is still talent out there. It's just the quality that's coming along with that talent, the work ethic that's coming along with that talent is how that talent's being pushed through. The talent's still there. The talent's still there. And the creation process has just taken a hit. It's just not what it used to be. And instead of the generation now taking heed to that, they get offended by that.
Right.
And instead of getting offended by that, just take heed to it. And say, okay, now there's a quality to our work that we can still put into it so we can continue to take this thing to another level. So we can take the game to another level. So we can take the music to another level. So we can take the art to another level.
Right.
It's okay to take the criticism. And we've always been the 90s were criticized by the 80s and the 70s. The 70s were criticized by the 50s. But the difference is between those eras and this era now is we didn't fire back the way that that they're firing back at us. Like you said earlier, when we first started the 90s, is the fact that we've attacked them. But guess what? It's not like the 90s weren't under attack either. It wasn't like the 2000s were under attack either. It's just we took heed to it and we stepped the game up a little bit still. We still made sure we put some quality out there. Yeah. But now it's like, how dare you say something about me? I'm going to bring up this footage and see this airball. But what about your airballs? That still doesn't change your airballs.
Don't change yours.
The fact that LeBron hit the side of the backboard too, and he threw the ball out of bounds too. Guess what? Your criticisms, just take ownership of it and listen to it, take heed to it, and better yourselves from it.
Better yourself, man. We trying to keep all the games alive, man. This is a lot of the old heads is just passionate about the sport they grew up on and they love and they don't want to see it die. We really all just want to see a good game. I really just want to hear good songs on the radio. Yeah. So when we say this stuff, it ain't to bring you down, but a lot of y'all are the participation trophy kids and you're performing like it. You know what I'm saying? So stop getting offended. You put that well. Stop being offended. Take something from it that will allow you to grow and to keep this stuff alive so the next generation can do it after you instead of allowing AI to take it over and now we ain't got nothing for us to do in our free time in the future.
Hey, man, just like that Bill Evans you sent me, my man, give me some of that AI. Give me some of that AI, Bill Evans, because they ain't doing it. They ain't doing it right. So I'll take the AI. I'll be willing to take the AI because they ain't doing it right.
There you go. Man, shoot. Let's get into these reviews, man.
Hey, I'm going to go first because I want to save yours for last. All right, okay. So my Canuto finally got going. Inspirado Black. Let's make sure I mention that. It is the black, all right? So very, very dark wrapper, nice oily wrapper. Made the smoke very smooth and easy to take in, right? The aroma was nice, mixed with that pepper very well. That pepper hit me early in the beginning. And once I finally got my cigar going, it hit me very early in the beginning, but then dissipated. I was kind of sad to see it go. I'm not going to lie. I was sad to see it go because it was that mix was nice. The mix was nice, unexpectedly nice. So I was sad to see the pepper go. But once it did die out, strong earth mixed with some mocha. Like that mocha kind of sat like right in the middle of that earthiness and that oak. And just like a sandwich, like a sandwich with mocha in the middle of it. I don't know what it was, but it was just nice. So I do take that and say great smoke overall, great flavors overall. Didn't do too many changes. As you see, I'm not too far deep into my cigar. I still got a ways to go before I even finish my first third, but still deeper than what Aficionado would give you. So still my first third. So I'm interested to see where this is going to go. And I hope that mocha pops out even more and becomes even more prominent because it is a very nice touch to this stick. Slight sweetness with that mocha, earth and oak. So if I had to give this thing a rating, this Macanudo Inspirado Black. Not a coveted four. And maybe this is an indictment because we came off those Cohibas and the Placencias. But I'm going to give it 3.4. Solid 3.4 for just having some niceness to it. It just smoked well. Like, not too many things I did not like about the cigar. I didn't like about the cigar at all, I'll say that. But just gave me some flavors and some unique flavors that I'm not used to smoking with that mocha and that pepper and that oak. So that's very unique with this stick. So if you're looking for something that's different outside of what we've typically stated and smoked on this show, this would be a departure from the usual. This will definitely be a departure from the usual, but a nice departure. So I'm gonna give it a solid 2.4.
Good score. So for me, here's the Gilberto Oliva Reserva Blanc, which is where I'm at so far. So I made very good progress within this stick here. I'm going to say, once again, from the very beginning, initial noticed it had a good aroma that came off of it. The immediate notes that popped out at me is going to be those cedar notes. It came in a cedar encasing. So that came through really strong in the very beginning. The cigar had very creamy smoke that came off of it. But it had one of these lighter golden brown wrappers on it, which typically does not have a lot of oiliness on it. So because of that, you end up getting a little bit of a drier smoke. So that is one thing that I'm at a point where preference wise, I don't enjoy that. But this stick has maintained, you know, is stay lit most of the time. It had a good draw on it also. So I have enjoyed that about it. I would say some of the other notes as I began to progress in the stick was I noticed some earthiness to it. Then as we got a little further, a little spice kicked in and I was like, OK, the spice is good. I forgot to mention earlier on, there was a sweetness to it once I first got going, which kind of went out. And then once the spice came in, there was a little bit of cocoa on the back end of that. But those are all the tasting notes that I picked up on at that point with this particular cigar, which was a little bit of a disappointment in it for me because I would have liked just a little bit more complexity, you know. And once again, this could just be preference, you know what I'm saying? I would have liked a little bit of oiliness to smooth that out so it didn't have such a dryness to it. But it was a very light, milder cigar. And that was enjoyable a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, I'm getting to the point, I think, where I prefer more of a medium body. And so, I think, unfortunately, a lot of my rating is going to be based off my own biases at this point in time. Because I'm going to say, I'm going to give this a 3.6. It was a good cigar. Everything was done well. Nothing was bad about it, but preference-wise, you know, I would have liked a little bit more complexity. I would have liked a little bit of oiliness on this to give me a little bit of a smoother smoke. But creaminess, the lightness of it was enjoyable. Probably a really good cigar for more of an entry-level smoker. But for me at this point in time, you know, I would have liked a little bit more from it. But it was a good cigar.
I was going to ask, if you smoked this cigar 10 years ago, how would you feel versus now?
Yeah, I'd probably felt very good about it. You know what I'm saying? I probably would have went back and got it a few times afterwards, you know, which I still would smoke it again because this is what I think this cigar would go great with coffee in the morning, just standing outside and kind of getting your thoughts together, planning your day. So it's one of those type sticks, you know?
I like that. I mean, because before we close out, the way you explain that cigar, the way you kind of detailed it, it sounds like one of those cigars that I would have loved to get my hands on, say, 10 years ago. That's something I would have looked forward to. Like, I need that 10 years ago. Like, that's exactly what I was looking. I would be looking for. But it's like now, right. I gotta have that oiliness. Yeah. I had a little bit of little pepper bit. In the beginning, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. I'm glad to hear the pepper came out eventually. But it's like those certain things we look for now that we didn't necessarily look for back in the day. But it's like that sounds like a nostalgic stick that 10 years ago, give me that one. I'm going back for that one.
Yeah, I agree with you. So if you're early in your journey, go check it out. That's a good stick for you. If you're more of a experienced veteran, you know, still check it out, but smoke it in the morning. You know what I'm saying? Smoke it in the morning.
Morning smoke. Hey, morning smoke. Morning smoke. We love it. Yeah. But all right, man.
Hey, that was the Chad Ocho Cinco episode. We appreciate y'all for tuning in to this week's episode of the Cigars and Everything Else podcast. We out and we done with the 20s.